Now, Enoch, though, explain this. I mean, he obviously didn't physically build these himself. He must have had some help, right?
Well, there's no doubt he couldn't have built that himself. I mean, that was way beyond his, you know, the stones in the Great Pyramid are 80 tons. Coming up from the Aswan area, which is 500 miles to the north of Giza, which is, like I said, is the border of both the north and the southern mm-hmm. kingdom. And so how did they get those down there? I mean, some people say, well, they had to go in barges. Well, if you put a 80-ton block of granite on a barge, it would not. There's not enough water in the Nile. They had to bring it some other way. Yeah. Nobody knows the answer to that. Certainly, Enoch couldn't have done that himself. There's 2,300,000 three-ton rocks in the Great Pyramid, not counting the 144,000 stone casing stones that went over those core stones. And those casing stones are a whole other story that is never talked about, because those were made with six-sided with such precision that they're within 1/50th of an inch, and they fit together in such a way that the Egyptians still had the wherewithal to put mortar between the joints. You go, well, isn't it tight enough at 1/50th of an inch? Why the mortar?
Yeah.
Because the mortar was to keep out the seawater, because the Great Pyramid was built before the great deluge that covered the earth. And, you know, they've even found sea salt inside of the Great Pyramid. Nobody talks about this. I'd like to ask Dr. Zahi Hawass, how do you explain the sea salt they found in the Queen's Chamber and other portions of the Grand Gallery in there? I mean, there's no answer for this. They've even found there were seashells all around the Great Pyramid up to a height of 15 feet. You never hear about this. But this is evidence that at that time the pyramid was built to withstand the Great Flood, because encrypted into the Great Pyramid is information that was to withstand the ravages of time for all of the time of the human race, so that we could come to grips with the meaning of this oracle that was placed in the land of Syria according to the prophet Isaiah. It's all in the Bible.
He could have had water all around it, then.
Oh, all around it, yes, and over the top of it, too. So water leaked, seawater leaked. So, you know, we have this amazing evidences, and yet we don't hear about any of these things.
All right. So, of course, have you heard of Edward Leed Skolnin, the fellow who built what was called the Coral Castle in Florida? Out of what he said, all by himself, out of what he said was technology of the pyramids. Nobody ever found out what happened, how he did it. He died. He was from Latvia. And he's gone now. We don't know the secret of what he did. But, Ken, these blocks were huge. They're made out of limestone. Coral, rather. Absolutely huge.
Yeah, I heard about that guy, and I wondered about that. You know, I actually don't know the answer how they cut those stones. I don't know the answer how they even moved them. I just know that according to the views of the Egyptian Department of Antiquities and Dr. Zahi Hawass and Herodotus, who was one of the people they hang their hat on, that it took 30 years to build the Great Pyramid, 10 years to, build the causeways where they would drag the stones and divert the Nile, and then 20 years to put all the stones in place. Well, when you do the math and realize that the Nile was flooded 3 months out of the year, then you're down to 9 months. And in order to move stones to finish in that 20-year period, they would have had to move just the casing stones, not counting the 15-ton limestone.
Right.
They would have to move one every 2 minutes, 24/7, for 20 years.
There's no way.
They could have done that. It's just humanly impossible. And the limestone casing blocks that they had to cut, not only quarry, but they had to dress down to this 1/50th an inch tolerance and then move down the Nile, 144. They would have taken at least 10 to 20 years just to move those. So Herodotus' numbers, and by the way, you know, he came to Giza 2,000 years after it was built, at least. That's a long time, and his knowledge came from, stories that the tradespeople talked about in the streets of Cairo and those. So he's not a reliable resource, and yet he's one of the foundation stones upon which the Egyptians and Dr. Zahi Hawass base their claims. And it's like, come on, I mean, just do the math, and you can figure out that it doesn't work.
Are you able to bring any proof in the film, or is it based on just supposition?
Oh, no. No, I didn't. This isn't my own views or my own subjective thinking. I come out with real facts about not only did I go and visit there and talk to people and look at this thing, and that's not the only fact that they rest their case on. By the way, I will share a little bit more about some of the concrete evidence that went into the design of that in just a minute. But the second thing that they rest their case on is this guy named Richard Howard Vyse, who was a British nobleman whose family couldn't stand him, and he was kind of like a guy that didn't know what to do with himself. And this is in 1820. He went to the Giza Plateau and wanted to do something significant, raise enough money for an expedition, and he got inside the Great Pyramid. And he blasted his way. Can you imagine an archaeologist using dynamite? I've never heard of it before, but he was that insane, blowing up the greatest structure the world's ever seen. And he blasted his way into the upper chambers above the what they call the King's Chamber, the so-called King's Chamber. And he got to this fifth level there inside. It was a relieving chamber. And then all of a sudden he comes out. He said, I found writing on the wall that says it was built by Khufu. His name's in there. And anybody that studied the Great Pyramid that is a reliable, conscientious archaeologist knows it's a forgery. And yet the Egyptians, and I saw on television, Dr. Hawass taking this guy up there and showing him this stuff and says, see, this hieroglyphics, this writings by the quarry, the people that quarry the stone. It's like, it's a forgery. And yet, this is the kind of scholarship and archaeology they rest their case on. And the last one is this little statue of Khufu, you know, that was found like 200 miles away from Cairo anyway. And it's about 2 inches tall, 3 inches tall, and the name Khufu's on it. And they say, well, here's some more proof that, you know, Khufu. How does that connect? It's like a joke. It is a joke, I'm telling you.
And Khufu could have been a popular name.
Well, Khufu, I think Khufu doesn't even have a name. I think it means that God is with you. It doesn't even necessarily mean that was the name of the builder. And Khufu could have been Enoch, for all we know. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is they have this little statue, and they rest their case on these three foundation stones, and each one of them just crumbles under careful scrutiny.
When do you think the pyramids were built, Ken?
Well, I don't know the date, but I believe they were built before the dynastic period, and the dynastic periods began about 3,000 to 3,100 BC, so before then. So they're over 5,000 years old, I believe that. At least the Great Pyramid, and most likely the other one built next to it, which they call the Khafre Pyramid, but Khafre didn't build it. That's another fable. And then there's the other pyramid there that is called the Menkerios, which is smaller than the other two, but certainly the Great Pyramid was not built by Egyptians. They just did not. If you go into Egypt and you look around Egypt, everywhere you go, you see hieroglyphics, you see paintings where Egyptians are on boats spearing fish, you know, plowing the fields.
Mm-hmm.
But you go into the Great Pyramid, and guess what you find? Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. There's no signs of Egyptian culture in the Great Pyramid.